Hello and welcome to Pardes from Jerusalem, the podcast series from the Pardes Institute of Jewish Studies in Jerusalem. I'm Larry Kluger, a Pardes alum. This week, Re'eh. This week, Rabbi David Levin-Cruz discusses Re'eh. Rabbi David Levin-Cruz is a member of the Pardes faculty and also serves as the Pardes Director of Special Programs. And now, Rabbi David Levin-Cruz.
Thank you, Larry. Something that people often say about Milton's Paradise Lost is that the devil has all the good lines. And in fact, if you look at that fantastic work, it really is true. The moment the evil devil comes along, you know that interesting things are going to be said. You know that it's going to be stimulating. And I don't think we need to go as deep as Paradise Lost to see that. But even in regular movies or sometimes even in our daily lives, somebody who is bad, somebody who's evil, somebody who misbehaves, often seems more interesting than somebody who is sober and obedient. I have to say I'm always attracted to the bad boy, the naughty student, the iconoclastic friend. And there's something about, I can't put my finger on it, but there's something about antinomianism that is just very, very attractive. And there's plenty of that in this week's parasha. Let's look at four psukim that speak about disobeying God. Devarim 11:28, the first one on your source sheet. Va'klala im lo tishmu el mitzvot Hashem Elokechem, the curse that you will get if you don't listen to God, v'sarte min aderech, and you go away from the path asher ani mitzaveh etchem hayom, that I am giving to you today, lalechet acharei Elohim acherim, to go after other gods asher lo yadatem, that you did not know. Similarly, in Bet, kiva kam bekarbecha navi u cholem chalom, a prophet or a person whose vision comes out, we're talking about an evil prophet, v'tanen lecha ot omofet, and they give you a sign, Ubaha ot v'mofet asher diber elecha lemor, and the person comes and says, Nelcha acharei Elohim acharim, let's follow other gods asher lo yadatem, that you do not know. Next, we read about our families taking us to evil places. Devarim 13:7. Ki yesidcha echecha ben amecha o banecha o bitecha o eshet, lemor, some of your family comes and says, Nelech v'navda Elohim achirim, let's go and follow false gods, asher lo yadata atavotecha, that your family did not know. And finally, we have Devarim 13:14, where we read of a whole city that is an evil, is following idols, and it says, Ki tishma bechadarecha asher Hashem Elokech noten lecha lashevet sham lemor, yetzu anashim bnei Beliel mekirbecha v'yadichu et yoshvei iram lemor. And these horrible people come and say again, Nelcha v'navda Elohim acherim, let's follow other gods that you do not know, asher lo yadatim. So here we have a absolutely vivid account in four verses of the Jewish people being led astray, the Jewish people being led into idolatry. And what all four of them have in common, as people heard, is asher lo yadatem, that you did not know, gods who you did not know. What does this mean, gods that you did not know, that you should not know, that you didn't know previously, but now you know? The knowledge isn't real knowledge, it isn't knowledge. So what I'd like to do today is really unpack these few words, asher lo yadat, and that you did not know, unpack them, try and understand what they mean, and see if we can understand from misbehavior what behavior is. I remember years and years ago in university, this was when I was in university, this was before many, many studies were done about people who do well and people who are successful, and most of the studies that were done, at least in a school context, was of kids who were doing badly, kids who were failing. And what we did is we examined all the different things to do with kids who are not doing well. And then we said, hopefully, we think The opposite must apply to kids who are doing well. So if kids who are not doing well are not organized in their homework, we assume that kids who are doing well were organized in their homework. And we're going to do a very, very similar kind of an exercise today. We're going to examine asher lo yadata in this phrase. We're going to examine what was the impetus for these people to worship idols. And we're going to see if we can learn from that what is the way that a Jew or a person who wants to lead a life of faith can be led to faith. Very, very exciting. So let's start off with what does the word yodea mean? On one level, it's intellectual apprehension, no, in the simple meaning of the words. But if we look at the book of Divrei Hayamim, of the Chronicles, the first book of Chronicles, Kavchet Teisha 28:9, which you can see on the fifth source sheet over here, Shlomo Solomon is being spoken to, Vata Shlomo Bini, and now Solomon, my son, Da et Elohei Avicha, you should know the Lord your God, that somehow people are able to know God, Ve'avdehu, Belev Shalem, you shall serve him with a full heart, Ubenefesh Chafetza, and with a fervent soul, Ki Kol HaLevavot Doresh Hashem, because all hearts, God knows, V'Kol Yetzer Machshavo Mevin, and God understands every thought that we have. Im tadarshehu yimatzelacha, if you want God, you will find him. Vim tazvenu yaznicha la'ad, you will be abandoned forever. We see a lot going on over here. We see that knowing God is something that we can do, that we need to serve God and to know God. That if we just go and ask for God, we will find God. But if we leave God, God will leave us. So we see some type of a mystical relationship, or a symbiotic, I should say, relationship between God and people going on over here. If we serve God and we look for God and we try and have a relationship for God, we will find God. If not, we will not. I think that's on one level, but I think there's another level going on over here. And that is that God knows us. God knows us in a way that is deeper and better than any way we could possibly know ourselves. God is this ideal psychotherapist who can understand us completely. And in some way, I think what we're talking about over here is a mystical meeting of knowledge. Our human ability to try to get to know God, combined with God's knowledge of us, together can combine to us having a relationship with God. And some of these ideas are echoed in the next source, in Hosea Yud Gimel Dalet, where God is saying, V'anochi Hashem Elohecha me'eretz Mitzrayim ve'Elohim Zulati. I've always been your God, ever since Egypt. Ve'Elohim Zulati lo tedan, you do not know other gods. U'moshia ein bilti, you have never known a true God under me. You've never had anybody but me. Here, we have certain echoes of the relationship that we saw in Divrei Hayamim, but here it's something, it's even stronger. I've always been your God. We've been through thick and thin. I've been your helper. I've been your savior. We have a living relationship. It's not just that we know each other. It's not just that we understand each other. It's much, much deeper than that. We have a knowledge. We've been together for a long time. And this is seen even more in the words in of Breishit, where we're not talking about God's love, but Adam's love for Chava, Adam's love for Eve. Va'adam yada et Chava ishto, v'taher v'taled et Kain v'tomar kaniti ish et Hashem. God knew his wife Eve, and she conceived and bore Cain, saying, I got a child, a male child, with the help of God. This is often referred to as biblical knowledge. Yadam means sexual, is sexual, but I think what we have is experiential. It's deep. It's love that comes out of giving something to somebody else, of sharing something with somebody else. And already, just by looking at the word yada, I think we get an insight into four different types of important knowledge. There's intellectual knowledge, knowing something. There is the knowledge that comes with a meeting of minds when I do my best to understand God and God understands me and the meeting happens. There is the knowing of somebody in a relationship that has history, that has traction, that has gone on for a while. And finally, there's the knowledge that comes from giving, from sharing, from being to prepare to give of oneself to another person. So we have four fantastic ideas of what knowledge can be. This is how, and this already can give us some insights as to how we can not only get to heresy, but also to faith. But to look a little further, let us look at the verses that I started off with reading. Let us look at the context. Let us look at the manganonim, the mechanisms. Let us look at the mechanisms which the Torah tells us are used for us to become idolatrous, and then see whether we can adapt them to apply to faith. So if we look at the first one which speaks about curses if we do not obey God and go astray, Samson Raphael Hirsch says that the result of disobedience is lack of belief. It's very, very often, it's the opposite of what we often think. We often think, well, I don't believe, therefore I'm not going to practice. Samson Raphael Hirsch has a more behaviorist approach, well before Skinner, of course, and says that if I don't obey, that will lead to lack of belief. The practice will lead to me thinking incorrectly. And the Sifre comments on this, Min Haderech, from the way, Mikan amru kol amodeh ba'avodah zarah kofer b'chol haTorah kula. Anybody who admits even a small bit of avodah zarah is as one who is heretical towards the whole Torah. V'kol haKofer ba'avodah zarah k'modeh b'chol haTorah kula. And anybody who rejects avodah zarah is somebody who has accepted the whole of the Torah. So whereas Hirsch was focusing on the lack of obedience, the Sifre on this verse says that what is going on over here is even the tiniest wavering in either direction. Entertaining thoughts of Avodah Zarah can lead to Avodah Zarah, and this is equal to the rejection of the Torah. Entertaining thoughts of holiness and of godliness, even if I don't keep the whole Torah, is as if I have accepted the Torah. So what the Sifre is emphasizing is the way that I think. Very often we nowadays think I can't control my thoughts. It's even not good to control my thoughts. The Sifre is saying, no, that's not true. It is possible to work and to try and think of good things. I don't know if any of you ever do this, but at night when I'm trying to sleep, I try and think of the most boring things possible. Sometimes it works, sometimes it doesn't work. But the fact that it works sometimes, I think, shows that at least to some extent, we are capable of controlling our thoughts and are not at their whims. Some of you might have seen the movie Inside Out, a movie which I really enjoyed and really, really liked. And I'm really at two minds about what is going on over there. On the one hand, I don't want to spoil it for the people who haven't seen it. On the one hand, it really, really charmingly and beautifully describes the feelings and thoughts that go on inside a person when different things happen. On the other side, it gives a very, very strong idea that we are somehow the results or the pawns of our feelings. And I think Jewish tradition would say that we have at least some control or some influence about what we think. So for Hirsch, lack of belief comes from disobedience. For the Sifre, it comes from entertaining heretical beliefs. In the second pasuk I quoted, Devarim 13, 2-3, we have a prophet or a vision coming, a prophet or somebody with a vision coming. And so a third way that people might come to lack of belief is a person who comes with proofs or a false prophet. Interestingly, in the third pasuk, it is our family that brings us to heresy. Family should be the people who are bringing us to believe in God. We should be perhaps believing in God, Minhag Avotenu B'Yadenu, the custom of our father is in our hands. For many, many people, faith comes because this is what my family has always believed. But here we see something very, very different. This is, of course, not idolatry by any stretch of imagination, but I think I read that 34% of Americans have a different religion to their parents, which is a tremendously, tremendously, I think it might be 17. Actually, 17% have. And I think if you count in moving from one Protestant denomination to another, then it becomes 34. Whatever it is, either are very, very large figures. And in Tet, we read in Tet, the ninth source that you have, again, the this is now the Sifrei again, and he says about that you and your fathers did not know. Rav Yossi Aglili Omer, Rabbi Yossi the Galilean says, Hareze Devar Gnai LeYisrael. This is a bad thing for Israel. Shu'amot Olam Ein Menichim Mashim Asru Lehem Avoteim. The nations of the world do not reject what their fathers taught them. For Yisrael Menichim Mashim Masru Lehem Avoteim. But Israel leaves what their fathers taught them. V'holchim V'ovdim Avodah Zarah. And they go after evil. So in this case, the family is seen as the bastion of belief, but there's also recognition that this often doesn't work. And it's interesting that this pasuk uses the idea of meisit, which is to encourage somebody to do something, to spur them on. And the Torah Tmima says this is eating and drinking, and this is a little bit like Hirsch as well. Somehow, eating and drinking the wrong things can lead to lack of belief. It's not so much that I eat a non-kosher food because I don't believe in kashrut, but I eat non-kosher food and enjoy it, and that leads to me not liking or wanting to keep kashrut. So we see from this a lot of different ways that can lead to avodah zarah. Disobedience, the entertaining of heretical beliefs, prophecy, family, traditions, experience, and sometimes even an entire city, an entire culture going in that direction. And I think quite simply, the opposite can lead us to faith. Obedience, wise life choices, listening for the prophetic in our lives, ensuring that it is correct, looking to our own prophets, looking to our families and seeing what we have to gain from them that is good, looking towards the Jewish tradition, to Jewish experiences, to our cities and to our communities. All of these are ways that we can get to God and to belief. And how do we do it? How do we do that? How do we try and do it? Then we go back to the four different ways of knowledge. How do we approach these experiences? How do we know which ones are true? We are intellectually honest and sensible. We look for those moments when there is hatama, when there is parity between the way we think and the way we believe God thinks. We try and have experiences in a relationship kind of a way, and we recognize the other and are prepared to share ourselves with them. When going through the compendium of Jewish experiences, it's very, very important not to be passive, but to be intellectually curious, to be open to the mystical, to be prepared to have relationships with real people who can help us on the way, and to be prepared to give of ourselves to others. If you take this and you combine them with rich Jewish experiences, I would like to claim that many, many people can come to faith, come to belief, and come to understanding of God. To me, it is not a surprise that the devil in Milton's Paradise Lost leads us here. Very, very often, people who speak evil, what they're doing is they're taking a great life truth and turning it to their purposes. It behooves us to listen to what everybody says, to try and understand what is correct in what they are saying, and to take that which is correct and use it for the purpose of God and faith. Shabbat Shalom.
Thank you, Rabbi Levenkurs. Thanks for tuning in, and we'll see you on the next episode of Pardes from Jerusalem.